Oh my goodness. Trying to get these Disney tickets was like trying to break into the Pentagon or something. It was. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to my podcast, Esme's Country Life. If you couldn't tell, we are actually somewhere different today, so it might sound a little bit different because I'm not in the normal podcast studio at home. I'm actually currently in Florida at the World Equestrian Center in Ocala. So today's episode, I'm going to be updating you on some of my adventures out here in Florida. And it's safe to say, I have a full-on notes app on my phone of all of the, I was going to say entertaining, I'm going to say interesting, some a little bit embarrassing stories that I have so far, because if you're a listener of the podcast, you will know things in my life, things just go wrong sometimes. Things that are embarrassing, they just seem to happen. But anyway, before we begin, I just want to say a huge thank you to the sponsor of the podcast, Red Post. Red Post is an equestrian and country store based in the UK, but they also ship all over the world, including the USA, where I am now. But I just wanted to talk a little bit about the new Bella jackets from Fairfax and Favour. They have them in a gilet as well, because Red Post do stock them. And oh my goodness, I have one of them and in love. Such a good spring jacket, especially maybe if there's a little bit of a shower, if you just want to put something on that's not too big and bulky. You know, we're finally at the stage where we can maybe say goodbye to our big winter coats, so spring jackets are now in. So if you want to check them out, be sure to head to redpostequestrian.co.uk. Anyway, let's get straight into it. So yeah, the first sort of interesting story I have from Florida so far was actually at the airport. Yes, it starts there, not even past border control, because if you've ever been to the States before, you'll know that border control there is a little bit different compared to going to European countries. Like when we go to Europe, you go through, you see some guy, they're like, yep, your face matches your passport, here's a stamp, through you go, have a lovely old time. In America, it's a little bit different. Most times when I come out here, we're often in a queue for up to about 3 hours trying to get through border control, because it is a process. It is like going, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is it's like going into, I don't know, Buckingham Palace. It's like you're trying to, I don't know, it just seems like it's just a process to try and get in there. So often, you know, they take your fingerprints. Now with my dad, for some reason, every single time, the fingerprint machine does not like his hands. Now I don't know if maybe he has like man hands that are kind of dry, and you know, like his hands, he has proper man hands anyway. So that he kept trying to like put it on the machine, and luckily we had a really nice lady, because there have been times that I've gone through border control, especially when I was a kid. I must have been 11 actually. I was year 7 at school the first time I came to the US, and I remember this guy asking me all of these questions, and I was like, I'm only a kid, I'm only small. And he was like, is this your real dad? Is this your real parents? Like worried that I was being like smuggled out of the country or something. I was like, yeah. They were like, where are you going? And I was like, I don't know, some like bush gardens, some theme parks and stuff. Like he was like, what hotel are you staying at? And I was like, I don't know, I'm 11, my parents booked it for me. So I remember that being kind of scary. But yeah, this time we had such a lovely lady, and we were like joking a little bit about how my dad's hands just, it wasn't working. She was like, even if you don't have fingerprints, it still works. So anyway, we managed to get his fingerprints done. And yeah, so it was the quickest we've ever been through border control. We were probably waiting 20 minutes tops. As soon as we walked through, our cases were there. We didn't have to wait for them on the carousel. We just picked them up and we were like, oh my goodness, we have gone through this so quickly. Easy peasy. The next thing that went a little wrong on our trip was I forgot that this country has toll roads. Now, we have the odd toll road in the UK. Actually, like in the area where I am or where I live, we don't really have like any motorways that near where I am. So there really aren't any toll roads kind of near me. So I just kind of forget they exist sometimes. But with American toll roads, or these ones that we were at in Florida, this is Orlando. So we flew into Orlando. You can only go through them if you have cash, or you have this like sun pass kind of thing, which is obviously what all the locals have, so they can just drive on by, easy peasy, let's go, efficient. But because obviously we're tourists, we got to the toll road and we were like, oh no, we don't have any cash. Luckily, we had a few dollars, but they were in our suitcase, so I had to park up on the side of the road, let everyone through. We were that annoying person holding up everybody. Had to root into the suitcase, find this old purse that had some dollars in, and we managed to get on by. But we were like, oh my gosh, imagine if you just forgot to have cash on you, because I don't know, in the 21st century, most people, to be fair, most people don't even have their cards on them. Like, I am such an Apple Pay girl. I feel like I could get caught out. Actually, I always have a £20 note in the back of my phone case. That has saved me a few times, especially like some places, especially like my village shop where I live. If you don't spend over a certain amount of money, they won't let you pay with card. You have to pay with cash. So it's always good to have some spare cash with you. But yeah, anyway, we got to our hotel. That was all good. The next issue. The next issue we had was when we got to the hotel was trying to get tickets to Disney. Now, before we begin, I just want to say, if you are in the UK, you will understand what I mean when if you try to go to Disney in Orlando, basically the only way you can get tickets is if you buy a 7-day ticket kind of combo or a 14-day ticket combo. Now, we obviously weren't going to Florida or to Orlando to go to the parks. I'm actually out here for work, even though it probably doesn't seem like that because I have been having so much fun out here. We actually weren't supposed to arrive as early as we did. We realised that when we were booking tickets for the flights, we were going to save £1,000, which is absolutely ridiculous, to have 2 extra days out here. So we were like, let's make a bit of a vacation of it, a little bit of a holiday. So I was like, you know what? I'm not mad about it. I'm saving some money and I get to go to Disney and not Orlando, Universal in Orlando. There we go. So, yeah, I just want to say a huge thank you to Universal Studios for very kindly inviting me. We stayed on Universal property, had the best time there, went to all the parks, which I'll be talking about in a little bit, but I want to do this in chronological order so I remember everything because I have some funny stories from both of the parks. So, yeah, we also went to Disney. And so we were like, we weren't even sure we were going to make it to Disney because, again, booking tickets in the UK, absolute nightmare. Could not just book one ticket for the day. So what we did was we landed, got to our hotel. First thing we did, went on the US Disney website because for some reason wouldn't let us go on the US one while we were in the UK. To be fair, if you had like some sort of VPN, you could probably finesse it that way. But we weren't doing that. We were like, okay, let's just try and do it. I don't think I even bought the tickets through the Disney website. I think it was some sort of Orlando touristy buy tickets here kind of website, which at first I thought this might be a little bit sketchy, a little bit dodgy, but you know what? It says it's all secure, so I'm gonna go for it. I just really want to get to Disney. So anyway, we managed to buy single tickets for the day, and oh my goodness, I'm a technical gal. You know, I've got the podcast, I've got a YouTube channel, I do all the editing, I play around with all the cameras and editing software and things like I'm born in the 21st century. I'm a technical girl. But oh my goodness, trying to get these Disney tickets was like trying to break into the Pentagon or something. It was like, how? I felt like I needed to be a master coder or some sort of super spy to get these tickets. Now, please tell me in the comments if you've done this as well, that I am not being silly because when I was booking these tickets, it was step after step. So first I had to, you know, fill in all this information about where I lived, what my phone number was, you know, the normal data collection, we own you kind of stuff. And then after getting the email receipt for the tickets, I had to download the Disney app, make a whole Disney account, and then I had to do all of these 5-step verification, make sure you're not a robot, all those kind of things to get the Disney tickets linked up to my Disney account. And then once the tickets were on my account, I had to register it to each person. And I was like, oh my goodness, they do not make this easy. Like, getting into Disneyland is a struggle. So, we actually managed to get there pretty early because jet lag, and also I was like a kid on Christmas. I was so excited. So the park we decided to go to was the Hollywood Studios, because I have been to Disney before. I feel like all the Disney people are going to get really angry at me if I call the rides something different or something wrong, or call the park something wrong. So I just want to put it out there. I apologize. I am not a Disney expert. Because we went to Disneyland, which is the one in Paris, when I was a kid. I've been twice, once when I was five, once when I was six. But I've never been to the ones in America before, which are obviously bigger. They have like multiple parks as well. Like in Paris, you just got the one park, I'm pretty sure. Went out here, there are like five, or there are just loads. There are loads. Because there's Epcot, which is kind of like the one where it's like all the different kind of countries in one cool place, and they have some other fun things there too. They have Hollywood Studios, which is the one that we went to because I wanted to go on the Tower of Terror, and I also wanted to see all the Star Wars stuff. That was like my main thing. There's obviously the Animal Kingdom as well, which is kind of like the zoo one, which I wasn't really too fussed about. Although they do have, I'm pretty sure they have all the Avatar stuff there, which does sound quite cool. What else? There's Magic Kingdom, which is like the Disney, which has like the castle and stuff, which I was the other park that I was interested in going to, but I've been to Paris before. I've seen the castle there. So I feel like people are going to be like, no, that's the best park. Why didn't you go to that one? But I wanted to see the Star Wars stuff, guys. We don't have that in Europe. I want to see the Star Wars things. And also, I was there with my dad, who grew up watching Star Wars. I grew up watching Star Wars with him. So I've always been a Star Wars kid. I'm not one of these new Star Wars people that just watch the new films. Oh no, I have been watching the OG films for a long time. So anyway, I'm going to sound like such a nerd saying all this kind of stuff. But you know what? I don't care. Moving on. So we went to Disneyland, Hollywood Studio, oh sorry, Disney World. Disney World, I'm pretty sure the Orlando one is. Disney Hollywood Studios. We got there at 9 a.m. Oh, actually a bit before that. We got there. I don't think it's for rope drop. I'm pretty sure rope drop is for people who stay on Disney property and get to go there like half an hour or an hour early. But for not staying on Disney property, we got there as early as possible. And the one ride that I was so excited for was Rise of the Resistance. And it was closed, it was broken when we first arrived, and everyone was getting in a queue for it. And I was like, okay, this is what, are we gonna risk it for a biscuit? Are we gonna get in the queue and maybe be queuing for 3 hours and then be like, sorry, it's not working today, you've just wasted 3 hours of your life? Or are we gonna get in the queue and like in 5 minutes we go on in? And I knew that this was one of the most popular rides in the park, and I was like, okay, what are we gonna do? So we went to the other Star Wars ride, which was next to it, which was probably, can't lie, it was the worst Star Wars ride. Shouldn't have, I should have prepared a little bit more. I should have watched more vlogs and things, but I didn't want to watch too many because I didn't want to spoil the magic. I wanted it to be a little bit of a surprise. So anyway, we went to the can't even remember what it's called. People are gonna get angry at me. We went to the just like Star Tours. That was it. We went to the Star Tours one, which can't lie, I don't want to sound like a negative Nancy, but I am not one for the 4D rides or the rides where you sit in a thing, it shakes you around, and you basically just have like a TV screen, so it makes it feel like you're on a roller coaster, but you're actually not. I am somebody who gets a little bit travel sick sometimes. So for me, those rides were just like, they were really cool, don't get me wrong. And like, I'm so glad I experienced them and so lucky to be able to go to Disney and stuff. But they made me feel a little bit ill. I can't lie to you all. So after that, we were like, okay, Rise of the Resistance, the good ride, the one that everyone has been hyping up, that ride was open. So we went into the queue. We were waiting for quite a while. We were probably about 45 minutes, 50 minutes. But to be fair, the queues at Disney are so good. Actually, the queues at all the theme parks are really good because while you're in there, the queue is pretty much an experience in itself. And I wasn't actually sure at what part it counts as the ride or the experience because it was that good. Now, I'm going to do hopefully a Disney vlog that you guys can watch. But oh my goodness, this one bit where you walk through and all the stormtroopers were there. I don't want to sound like over the top, but it did give me shivers. It did like take me back a little because it did feel like I'd just walked onto the spaceship. And I was like, oh my goodness. I was actually a bit scared. I think if I was maybe anything younger than, God, maybe like 12 or 13, to be fair, I think I would have been Very scared. Now, I've always been a bit of a scaredy child. When I went to the Disney when I was like 5 or 6, I had to be taken out of the Rainforest Cafe because I started crying because there were these monkeys and I thought they were going to eat my dad. They were very scary. There were like men dressed up in these weird monkey costumes. I think it's because any like 2000 kids watching this will know the show that I mean, or maybe even 90s kids, because I feel like it was quite an old TV show. But if anybody watched Jungle Run on CITV back in the day as a kid, you will know what I mean when I say, yeah, Jungle Run. They had these like monkeys dressed up in costumes that were really scary. And I used to think that they were real like monkeys and they used to scare me as a kid, so I think maybe that's why I got a little bit scared. I used to also think that kids on those like challenge TV shows would actually get like trapped if they lost the challenge and would just be there for the rest of their lives, which obviously is highly illegal and would not happen, but I thought it was all real as a kid. But anyway, I was actually very scared. Also, I feel like everyone else was a bit scared because we did. I was brave enough to get some photos, but there were all the like actors there, and they were like, "We need to come on through, like you're our prisoners," and that kind of thing. And I was actually really scared, and I thought I was gonna get shouted at for getting photos with the stormtroopers. But did I get a photo with the stormtrooper? Yes, I did. So yeah, that was really good fun. And then the bit where you actually go on a ride and in like a pod was incredible. They had like all the animatronics and they made it seem so real and just like the special effects and stuff. Oh my gosh, I was blown away. It was worth the hype, Rise of the Resistance. It was worth it, I tell you. So that was so good. And then we went on to the other one, which had the Millennium Falcon. So obviously it was really cool going through all the different areas. Even just like I would recommend going in all the shops or stores because they have just look up in the ceilings. They have all of these like animatronic things and just like little Easter eggs and little things from the shows or from the movies. And you're just like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Anyway, so I was like a kid in a candy store. I had so much fun. But yeah, the Millennium Falcon one, it was cool. I think I would have enjoyed it more if I was younger because you got to, it kind of felt like you were flying the spaceship and things. I was the person that had to like press the buttons, so I was doing all the like firing of the guns and stuff. So that was good fun. But again, it was one of those ones where it was just a screen and you were being shaken around and it felt like you're on a roller coaster when you actually weren't, which that one didn't make me feel travel sick. So that one was all right. It was the Star Tours one that was not for me. But to be fair, the C3PO on the Star Tours was pretty good. Then after doing all the Star Wars areas, we decided to go to the Tower of Terror because that was the main other ride that I really wanted to do. Apparently, Hollywood Studios is actually quite a small theme park compared to all the other ones, which, not gonna lie, I can probably agree with that. The Rocking Roller Coaster was closed, so it was a little bit sad about that. So I didn't get to go on that one. But the Tower of Terror, oh my gosh, you'll see it in the vlog. But I like drop rides always really get me. They always really scare me. They're one of my favorite rides because they're the only ones that still give me like an adrenaline rush. Like normal roller coasters, even if they're really high, go upside down, that kind of thing. Like I have good fun, but they don't give me the same sort of thrill as a drop ride. I think it's like the anticipation that you know it's going to drop, and then your tummy gets left behind. Oh, sorry, my tummy made a funny noise then. Anyway, so on the ride, after we did all the drops and things, it just stopped. It all went black. And we were like parked there for a good 2, 3 minutes. And I don't know what it is, but when I get scared, my voice becomes even more posh and even more like British or English. And it all went quiet, and everyone was just like, what's happening here? And me and my very like posh scared voice just went, excuse me, has anybody been on this ride before? Like, is this part of the ride? Is it part of the joke or is it broken? And this American lady was like, oh no, this is not what normally happens, you know. Sorry, my American accent is so bad. But she's like, no, this is not what normally happens. Like, I don't know, I think we're stuck, but it's fine, we'll be moving on shortly. And I was like, okay, thank you. And there was this kid that was like freaking out, like crying, because we were in this like elevator thing, which is actually kind of ironic because the whole ride is that you're in like a haunted slash broken elevator or lift. So there we go. But had really good fun. Obviously went on all the other like cute things as well, like the Minnie and Mickey ride and all that kind of stuff, but had a really good time. And then the other day we went to Universal Studios. We actually as I said before, very kindly was a guest of Universal Studios. So they gave us fast passes and express passes for like all of the rides, like could go anywhere. It was awesome. So they actually have two parks. They have the Islands of Adventure, and then they also had the normal like Universal Studios. So we actually went to Islands of Adventure first because the most popular ride is the Hagrid ride. So we went on that one. That one was incredible. So run to that one first. That was like the you're kind of like on Hagrid's motorbike. And that was probably one of my favorite rides out of all the parks. I had so much fun. It was great because some rides can be a little bit intense. We went on the Velocicoaster after that, which is the Jurassic Park, like proper upside down, throw you around roller coaster. And that one was intense. That one also made me feel a little bit ill, but I don't know if it's because I didn't have any breakfast yet that morning. So it might have been that, because we were like, we need to get there early. We need to go to the Hagrid ride because it gets so busy. Like, if you don't get on there first thing in the morning, also because we were staying on Universal property, we got to get to the park an hour before everyone else. So to be fair, we were waking up at like 5 a.m. every morning because of jet lag, but we were there 8 a.m. ready to go. I felt like such a theme park expert, even though I'm definitely not. But and then like there are all these people being like, no running. And they're like, tell you off if you run. So everyone does the speed walk, which I can't lie. You know how there's that trend and it's like if a guy does something, it gives you the ick, like running with a backpack on and the backpack jumps about like that just gives you the ick, or like running for a bus or I don't know, things like that. That's what a lot of people say. But oh my gosh, I feel like the biggest ick would be seeing a guy speed walking at a theme park trying to get on the ride, because I can't like laugh about it because I was that person. I was speed walking, and I am a proud speed walker for the rides. I don't care. I was excited. And if you want to make fun of me for something that I'm excited about, then that is very sad. What a sad little life, Jane. Anyway, so I was having a great time. But as I was speed walking, I was like, this is so embarrassing, but also so funny because I could see everyone else speed walking as well. So it was like, do you know what it made me think of? Everyone just looked like little runner ducks, like walking along really quickly. And I was having the best time. I was laughing at myself. I was laughing at everyone else. And I got to go on the Hagrid ride. So win-win. Also, little top tip for anyone going to Universal, because we did not know this. You guys at the theme parks do things a little bit different to over here in the UK. Or I'm actually not in the UK right now, so back over in the UK. Because at normal like UK theme parks, like we have Alton Towers, Thorpe Park, Chessington World of Adventures, they're like the only three we have in England that are like the big ones. So there's also like Peppa Pig World, but I don't count that because I never went there as a kid. That was before my time. That makes me feel old. Anyway, so to be fair, my younger brother, I think, watched Peppa Pig like a little bit. Maybe it was more my younger cousins, to be fair. So I do know who Peppa Pig is. But anyway, sorry, that was so random. Back to, UK theme parks. What you normally do is obviously you have the queue, or from Americans, you wait in line. So while you're queuing, you do all that. And then just before you get on the ride, you either give your bag to a person working in like a little bag room, and they give you a bracelet with like a number on, and you get to keep that. And then once you've been on the ride, you give your bracelet back and then you get your bag back. Easy. Or you, if it's like a slightly older ride, I feel like you obviously, instead of like getting straight onto the ride, you walk like through the ride, and on the other side there are loads of like, I don't know, just like a wall of shelves, and you put your bag on the shelf, and then often there's like a little cage and they slide it across so then nobody can get your bag that's on the ride like after you or before you. So then when you get off the ride, they slide it back to the right side, and then you can grab your bag so nobody hopefully steals it or nicks it. So that's what I'm used to in the UK. But over here, or at Universal, it was a whole different kettle of fish. We arrived and we were freaking out because we were like, how does this work? It's so complicated. So basically they have these like little rooms or little areas which have lockers, and on your ticket there's a barcode. So if you lose your ticket, oh my gosh, I don't know what would happen if you lost your ticket. It would be an absolute nightmare. So that's why everyone was buying all these lanyards or wearing all these lanyards to have their tickets on so they wouldn't lose them. We were like, I think it was like $16 for a lanyard, and we're like, nah, we'll just hopefully not lose it, which we didn't. We were good. We did lose something else, which I'll talk about a little bit later, which was a lot more expensive. But anyway, carrying on. So yeah, you had to scan your ticket and then a locker would open up. You'd put your bag in the locker and then close it. What I didn't realise is if you had a rucksack, so I had my little cute Fairfax and Favour bag that obviously had everything in. Because they, I always think my Fairfax and Favour bags are like a TARDIS because they don't look huge, but you can fit so much in there. Like I can fit my phone, my portable charger, like loads of stuff, water bottle. Anyway, carrying on, my dad had a big old rucksack with him because we were filming vlogs for you guys, and anyway, his rucksack did not fit in the little lockers, so we had to pay $3 every time we needed to use a locker and go on a ride for my dad's big rucksack. So that's my top tip: if you're going to Universal, bring a little bag, not a rucksack. We did not realize that. Anyway, so once we figured out how to do the whole locker thing, went on all the rides, had so much fun. The one ride that was so sad was closed that day, that I really wanted to go on, was the Jurassic Park ride. Not the Velocicoaster, because obviously that was really fun. I really enjoyed that and the theming and everything. Like they had a little dinosaur, well, I say dinosaurs, they were actually kind of scary, but they had all the velociraptors. That's it. I know my dinosaurs. They had all the velociraptors there in like cages that you could look at. Obviously, not real ones, because number one, that would be kind of cruel, and number two, dinosaurs. Anyway, carrying on. So yeah, there's this one where it's kind of like a water ride apparently, and I've seen so many videos online and I was so excited to go on that one, and apparently it's like one of the best rides in the park, and it was closed. It wasn't working. I was so sad. So you know what, it does mean that maybe I'll have to come back to Universal Studios another time. But yeah, obviously they had all the Harry Potter areas, which was so cool, so much fun. We went also on the Cat in the Hat ride, which don't laugh at me, but it actually had a really good view. And after the Velocicoaster, me and my dad were like, we need to go on something chilled. We need to go on something that's not going to throw us upside down or make us feel ill. Because again, I feel like we just weren't feeling our best that day. But yeah, that was good fun. Went around. Also, the snacks in the Cat in the Hat area. Like as soon as you walk off that ride, I feel like there's just all the smells of all the sweet food. So we had a little snack stop there. Then we actually went on the after going around all the Hogsmeade area, that was very cool. We went on the Hogwarts Express and that was incredible. That was very cool. It literally felt like you were there, got to go. And then we went over to platform 9 3/4 where they had Diagon Alley. So that was kind of like the London area. So they had like, it was all kind of like London themed when you first walked out, which as a gal who I was going to say is from London, I'm like just over an hour away from London. So whenever any Americans ask me where I live, I just say London, because if you say, oh yeah, I'm like an hour away from London, they're like, oh, so you're basically from London then. I'm like, yeah, close enough. Nobody knows any of the towns or places like near where I live. I'm like, yeah, anyway, like, yeah, an hour away from London. So even though it's probably a little bit more than that, depending on traffic, because traffic in the UK is, it's not good. It's something else. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, all the like UK themed stuff, like pat on the back to them, like hats off to them. It was actually very good. So as you know, that is my hometown, my home country. So yeah, that was very cool. But I'd say my favourite area was probably Diagon Alley, because that went on forever. That was so cool. There were so many different shops and you could like go in most of the shops as well. Again, just looking in the shops is so much fun because everything's themed. They had like little frogs, they had, or like toads. They had all of the cool things. Just so much to look at. If you enjoy the Harry Potter films, you will love it there. But one thing that I will say is be careful of your belongings, because unfortunately, I'm very sad to say that there will not be a vlog from Universal Studios because we had our vlog camera stolen. Now, we think it was stolen. We don't know if maybe we left it somewhere, but my dad's rucksack was open at one point and he was very sure that he closed it up. So just be careful of that. We think it was maybe when we were in Diagon Alley, which at that time of day, because it was in the afternoon, was packed. It was so busy. And we think it was maybe when we stopped to see the dragon breathe fire, because the dragon on Gringotts, it breathes fire every 10 minutes, I'm pretty sure. So I think we stopped to look at that and maybe that's when it got nicked. Maybe it was when we were like sitting on a bench for a little bit and just looking at everything and taking it all in. But so that was very, very sad and very, very expensive, because Number one, we lost our vlog, which I was probably more upset about than losing the camera, to be honest. Like, the camera I have no emotional attachment to, but the vlog, I was so proud. I'd filmed so much. I was having the best time. So I was like, Dad, it's not our fault. It's all good. Let's just enjoy the rest of our trip. I'll film like a TikTok and a Instagram reel. It'll all be good. It'll be fine. We've still got our vlog from like Hollywood Studios. So there'll still be like one theme park vlog for my YouTube channel. And to be fair, like, you guys, I know that most of you are here for the horse content. You're probably not here for the theme park content, but I wanted to make a vlog because I thought it would be fun. You'd enjoy it. But anyway, it's not the end of the world. Nobody has died. Everyone's okay. Everyone's healthy. Like, I am very much like, when something goes wrong like that and everyone's despairing, like, I wouldn't really call myself a half glass full person, but in times of distress or in times of sadness, I'm just like, guys, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be all right. So anyway, we made the most of the rest of the trip. Also, the Gringotts ride was so good. I was also, the ride in actual Hogwarts, that also, like, there were some bits which was with a screen and some bits without. The bits without a screen was incredible. Like, they had all the Dementors, they had all the like special effects. That was incredible. Also, the Whomping Willow, that was really cool. But any of the bits where there was a screen, I think it's just me, I'm a travel sick kind of gal, they just made me feel a little bit ill. Also, on the Gringotts ride, that one I didn't feel ill on at all. So maybe it's just like certain things, maybe it was where I was like sitting on the ride. I find that if I'm on a ride and I'm in the middle, I don't get as sick, but if I'm on the outside, I feel the G a little bit more. I don't know if it's just me getting old. I mean, I'm only 22, but at the beginning of the trip, especially after the VelociCoaster, my dad was feeling a little bit not his best. He was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting old. And then after I went on the Hulk ride at the end of the day, that finished me off. I was done. I think it was the combination of jet lag, probably not eating as much as I should have that day, probably not drinking as much as I should have that day, because we were just like, on it. We were like, because also we had the fast passes, which was so good. We just went ride after ride after ride, and it was intense. So at the end of the day, I was like, I'm all gamed out, I'm done, get me in my bed, I need to lie down. So theme park days, they're intense, but so much fun. But yeah, sorry, the Gringotts ride, back to that. That was incredible. Also, you wore these like little 3D glasses, and actually the queue in Gringotts was actually one of my favorite parts, just seeing all the goblins, which, can't lie, do creep me out a little bit. I have been playing a bit of Hogwarts Legacy as well, so maybe that's why I know spoilers, but I've been enjoying playing that actually on my PC. But yeah, sorry, back to Gringotts. Yes, that ride was cool. Oh yeah, sorry, the 3D glasses, I need to tell this story, I've been jumping around too much. My dad's 3D glasses went flying and I caught them with my face, and I thought it was part of the ride that there was like, you know, 4D experience, like maybe you get like a few things like chucked at you, because I think it was in the bit where there was like loads of rubble that kind of felt like it was falling on you, there's like a bit of an explosion, don't want to give too many spoilers, but anyway, my dad's glasses went flying and I caught them with my face, and I was actually so proud that I managed to catch them, because my dad was like, no! I was like, to be fair, I don't know if that could be dangerous or not. I don't know, that worries me a little bit if, like, you know, your glasses went flying and they landed on the tracks. Although I don't think it was a ride where you were, oh no, maybe it was a ride when you were on tracks. There was another one where you were like kind of hanging from like a little cocoon, it felt like, which was quite good fun. But yes, the Gringotts ride, definitely worth doing. 10 out of 10, loved it. Yeah, then we hopped over, then we went like around the Minions area, we saw the Transformers area. This sounds really sad, even though I haven't actually watched the film, which some people are going to get angry at me for this, but I've never watched E.T., but my favourite ride, one of my favourite rides was probably the E.T. ride, because it was the rides of how they were destined to be. It had the animatronics, there were no screens, no like faking it with a TV screen or that kind of thing. Oh no. It had all the real things, it had the pine trees, it had all the cool stuff, and I loved it. It felt like back when I was a kid, when I went to Disney as a kid, and everything was like animatronics rather than a screen. So that is my pet peeve of theme parks in the 21st century. They just want to do everything with a screen to make it cheap, make it easier. No, bring back the animatronics. Also, saying that, I did watch the Five Nights at Freddy's, that's it, film, on the plane. I don't know what it is, every time I go on a plane, I am not a horror film girl. I never watch horror films. I'd never watch them on my own, even with another person. To be fair, I have no friends that like watching horror films, so all family members. So for some reason, on a plane, I end up watching horror films. I think it's because they're so suspenseful that on a plane, if you're like a little bit bored, I always watch either kid films or horror films, no in between. And anyway, I think that's like a 15 or something, so don't watch it if you're young. It is very scary. That is my little disclaimer. But me and my brother, we grew up playing the Five Nights at Freddy's games on like our iPad. And I remember back when my grandparents used to live up north, every summer we would go up there, and I remember me and my brother were playing the game together on his iPad. My dad was driving, my mum was in the front passenger seat, me and my brother on the back playing this game. And there are a lot of jump scares. There are a lot of bits where they jump out at you and it's very scary. And oh, sorry, the reason why this is all connected is because it's based on like animatronic figures that come to life and try to get you in a scary kind of way. So anyway, I just remember us driving on the motorway and me and my brother having this massive jump scare, screaming. And my dad was driving and was like, you know when it's like, okay, we need to be quiet now. And there's a, like that kind of awkward silence afterwards. My dad is not a shouty person, but he was like, you need to like be quiet. I'm trying to drive. We're on the motorway. You could kill us. You could kill other people. It's so dangerous. Just be quiet. And me and my brother were just like quiet in the back, like, okay, sorry. But anyway, so that film was made way after the games, because I must have been about 12 or 13. I think my brother was like 10 or 11 when we were playing that game in that car on that one summer journey up north. But anyway, I decided to watch that, and then I realised maybe it wasn't the best film to watch before going to loads of theme parks, because all of the theme parks have animatronics, which, don't worry, they didn't go right. Oh, sorry, quiet on set. I've got a little email come through. Anyway, so what was I saying? Yes, creepy animatronics at a theme park and then watching a creepy animatronic film a day before. Probably wasn't the best thing, but you know what? Made things a little bit more interesting. Before we finish up, I've just remembered another funny thing from the ET ride. Again, you guys know the podcast. I bounce around a lot. It's just how my brain works. Anyway, on the ET ride, before you go in, or before you actually like go on the ride bit, because there's like a walkthrough bit too, there's this film that you watch. Was it Steven Spielberg? Was it him? Yeah, where like it's obviously very old. It's so old that the TV is square rather than being like horizontal. Anyway, so we watched that, and he said it was something along the lines of, once you walk through, you'll get your traveler pass, and you get this like little card thing, and you'll have to say to the guy like what your name is, and you get your like cool little pass. And me and my dad were like, I don't think this is gonna happen. Like, this is such an old like beginning bit of the ride. They're probably going to be like, sack this off. We're not giving out all these like cards and typing in your name. And I don't even know why they did this, because, well, obviously they still had the cards and you got given a card, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then there was a guy there and he was like, oh, what's your name? And obviously my name is Esme, and it's quite an unusual name in America, so I had to spell it out. It's an unusual name as it is. One of my most like Googled questions, if you search up me or like this Esme, is what is this Esme's real name? And it's just Esme. I mean, also when I meet new people, like I did some filming the other day and everyone was like, how do you pronounce your name? Is it like Esme, Esme? Like, we have our accents and we don't want to get it wrong. Sorry, I keep going into like a little American accent for you guys and it's really not good, so apologies, but it's just fun. Anyway, so there was this guy and he was like, here's your traveler pass, what's your name? And I was like, Esme, E-S-M-E. And then my dad, whose name is David, my dad has decided to change his name recently. Ever since there was a guy called Davide in Love Island, my dad has decided David is too boring. He's changed his name to Davide. So every time we go anywhere, so if you order a coffee and they're like, oh, what's your name? My dad goes, oh, Davide. And then he spells it out to them and they still get it wrong. And the place that we were staying had a coffee shop. And every morning my dad would go and do like a little coffee run or like a little breakfast run for us. And they were like, oh no, like they must have been like, oh no, it's the weird British guy. It's got this weird name. And they were like, remember, like, we ordered the same thing every time. And we only went there like a couple of times, but they remembered my dad. They remembered his name. They remembered his order. And we were like, oh no, this is so embarrassing. But anyway, so after I just spelled out my weird old name, being like ESME, and he was like, oh, can you do it like a little slower? Because I said it quite quickly. Anyway, got my card. Still don't know why they wanted my name for it. I think it was just part of the experience. But this poor guy, he must have felt like he had the most useless job ever, just like typing in people's names, and it wasn't even for anything. And then my dad comes behind and was like, oh yeah, my name's Davide. This guy was like, who are these people? Are they making up these names? Like, my name isn't my actual name. But anyway, so then my dad was like, I was like, please don't say that it's got like an E with an accent on, because I will just crawl up in a hole and die. Anyway, he didn't do that, but still he was like, yeah, my name's Davide. And every time people ask his name now, he goes, oh yeah, it's Davide. So even, this is how sad it is, even on his laptop and on his phone, when I went to airdrop things, it says like Davide's iPhone. So anyway, there we go. My dad's has had a rebrand. So on that note, I think we're going to finish the podcast episode there. I've only told you about like 2 days of my trip so far, so there is a lot more interesting and entertaining stories to come, but that was my Florida Orlando theme park experience. I promise I am doing work out here. We just had 2 days holiday or vacation out here, so of course, had to talk to you guys about it. But thank you so much again to Red Post for sponsoring the podcast. If you want to check them out, be sure to head to redpostequestrian.co.uk. Also, big thanks to Universal Studios again for very kindly having me as a guest and looking after us so well. And yeah, I really hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you all next time. Bye!